Ladies and gentlemen, prepare yourselves for a shock.
Ready to be challenged? Maybe a little offended, but definitely shocked. This is Shock Therapy Live. Your therapy session with Nate Heitzig. We're not looking for stump the pastor questions, so put down your Devos and open your diaries. Really, this isn't systematic theology.
Not that there's anything wrong with that.
Not at all.
This is Shock Therapy Live. Now, here's Steve-O.
That's right, big voice guy just said my name.
Dude, you're a rock star, Steve-O.
You know?
You're a rock star.
You know, this is true. Welcome to Shock Therapy Live. I'm your host, Steve-O. With me, as always, my partner in crime.
Yes!
Pastor Nate Heitzig.
Mmm.
We are here to answer your questions. No, as the big voice guy said, this is not systematic theology. However, if you're dealing with something in your life, we got some crazy questions tonight. If you're dealing with something in your life, spiritually, emotionally, physically, whateverly, give us a call, 505-338-3700, or Facebook us, facebook.com/mystaticradio. We've gotten a couple anonymous ones already.
Anonymous.
If you'd like to email us anonymously, you can do so at studio@mystaticradio.com. Maybe, you know, we've had some interesting questions. We've had some tough questions, questions on cutting, questions on masturbation, questions that are kind of embarrassing. And let's be honest, the church doesn't like to talk about these things a lot of times. And so that's the purpose of Shock Therapy Live is to answer your questions biblically. It doesn't matter our stupid opinions, although sometimes we do have those.
Yeah.
But what does matter is God's word and what the Bible has to say about your situation. So if you'd like to give us a call, 505-338-3700.
Now, we're happy to give you our stupid opinions, though,
absolutely,
too.
Absolutely.
Yeah. And we probably will.
Yeah, we usually throw in 3-4 cents.
Yeah.
Yeah. So,
you know, I've really been studying the book of Quran, and I really feel like we should just start a jihad.
Stop it. Okay, is this the point of the show where I slap you back to reality?
This is the point where I put my magic underwear on and get ready to do some shock therapy.
All right, we got a question from Dalton on Facebook, facebook.com/mystaticradio. He says, Romans 13:1-2 talks about submitting to governing authorities, and there's no authority except that which God has established. And if that we rebel against the authorities, then we're rebelling against God. So what does this mean? For example, in some countries, it's illegal to read the Bible. So Christians in those countries are reading the Bible. Therefore, they're rebelling against that governing authority. And he says, I'm totally not trying to deny what the Bible says. I'm just seeking clarity of God's word so that I'll know how to address this verse. Like Colossians 4:6 says, let your conversation be seasoned with salt so that you may know how to answer everyone. Dalton. Great question.
Yes. Dalton, my homeboy, are you ready for me to drop some science here
drop
in this
it.
Place
drop
right
it
now?
Drop it like it's hot.
No, okay, here you go. Dalton, check it out. This verse is a really, really important verse that we hold dear because we want to submit to the governing authorities and because we want to do so in humility and respect. But it is a very valid question. If our governing authorities are asking us to do something sinful, are we still supposed to, as Christians, submit to those authorities? I want you to think for a second back to the 1850s.
Okay.
Into a time when slave labor is alive and well in the South. When it divides the nation into civil war, what are you supposed to do about that as a Christian? How are you supposed to view that situation? Or let's say you live in Europe in the 1930s and a new German leader is an up-and-coming guy named Adolf Hitler is called into power and is viewed even by the clergy as a great leader, but he eventually begins the extermination of 6 million Jews.
Right.
As a Christian in Germany, how are you supposed to submit to that? We have this verse in Romans 13. So the question is there ever a time when a believer's obligation to civil authority is neglected? And that's the ultimate crux of this question. And I just did a teaching on this recently. And the answer is yes. And this is where the line is drawn.
Okay.
We are to submit up to the point where obeying the state means disobeying God. And that's the answer to the question ultimately. We're supposed to obey and submit up to the point where obeying state means disobeying God. Think about it this way. When Pharaoh ordered the Hebrew midwives to kill their newborn babies and they refused to obey, Exodus 1:17 says, but the midwives feared God and did not do as the king of Egypt commanded them, but saved the male children alive. Or think about Nebuchadnezzar when he ordered the captives to eat the king's delicacies and of the wine, and four men refused, Daniel 1:8 says. But Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with the portion of the king's delicacies, nor with the wine which he drank. Therefore he requested to the chief of eunuchs that he might not defile himself. And I love this verse because it shows that Daniel was going to honor God, but I love it says that he requested.
Right.
He requested of the chief of the eunuchs. That he did so, he refused to honor the king's commandments, but he did so humbly. He did so showing submission and showing respect. So you can still submit and respect to the authorities without necessarily doing exactly what they're telling you to do.
Absolutely. And you know what? The funny thing is, I was literally just doing a study in the book of Daniel, and even further down with Daniel, because Daniel multiple times with the kings, even with King Darius and the lion's den. When he comes out, it says that he wasn't just blameless in God's sight, but he was also blameless in the sight of the king. And so even though he went against the quote unquote decree that the king had signed saying, hey, you got to totally rock my world here and check me out. I'm the king. I'm awesome. When it came out, the Bible clearly says he was not only blameless in God's sight, but blameless in the eyes of the king. So,
Yeah, you know, it's a really important principle, and a lot of people use this in reference to spreading the gospel, that there's some countries that that don't let you preach the word of God. And if you think about Acts 4, when the Sanhedrin banned preaching in the name of Jesus, Peter and John refused. And in Acts 4, it says, but Peter and John answered them and said to them, whatever is right in the sight of God to listen to you more than to God, you judge, for we cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard. And it ultimately boils down to, we're supposed to respect those authorities, but we're not supposed to supersede God's authority. Because keep in mind, it says that God has given them that authority. So if God's given that authority, the ultimate authority is God. So if they don't follow the authority of God, well, then they're outside of the will of God by not following the authority of God. Right. So they're in line. We're supposed to respect them as long as they're in line with the authority that God's given them.
Right. And of course, in context of the verse of Romans 13 anyways, is talking about submitting to the governing authority. It's more so talking about you so that you do not break the law. For the one that, you know, breaks the law, that's the dude who's got to worry about it. But if you're not doing anything stupidly illegal, you have nothing to worry about with the government authority.
And I will point out something along this lines too, because given this fact that all authority is given by God, this leads a lot of people to say, well, if that's the case, then is God the origination of evil? Because a lot of governments, a lot of people that have authority, if that's given by God, then why are they so evil? And this really brings up the question, if authority is from God, why is there such a spread of evil in our culture today? Well, keep this in mind. We know that not only does God have power, but Satan has power.
Right.
And God has given Satan a vast amount of power, and he has a lot of reign here on this earth. We're told in 1 John 5, it says the whole world lies under the sway of the wicked one. You know, Satan himself claimed that all this authority I will give you and their glory, for this has been delivered to me and I give to whomever I wish. And I think it's really cool. In Daniel chapter 5, Daniel prays for an angel to come visit him, for an angel to help him. And the angel doesn't come for a long time. When the angel finally comes, the angel's excuse is, hey, I was in like a week-long battle with the prince of Persia. And he gives the spirit a name, the prince of Persia. Right. And we fought for a long time until Michael had to come along and help me and whoop this demon's butt.
Right.
And I would have loved to see that. You know, I watched UFC last night. I would pay a lot more money to see the Prince of Persia and Michael duke it out.
Yeah.
But this shows that there is a demon called the Prince of Persia that held sway over the area of Persia. So there are certain areas, and I would also say certain rulers, that are under specific demonic influence to make the decisions that they're making. And it's not from God that's giving them those desires in their heart, but it's specifically from I would say in certain cases a demon that is causing them to make those decisions. Adolf Hitler, case in point, I strongly believe that man was, if not demon-possessed, was definitely making decisions that were specifically given to him from Satan and from demons. So
there you go. All right, dude, Dalton, great question. Way to kick off Shock Therapy Live tonight. If you're listening and you'd like to get a question in, you can give us a call, 505-338-3700, the phone number here. Yes, we are live in studio. Or you can email us if you'd like to keep it anonymous. It's studio@mystaticradio.com. Wow, we got a few email questions flooding in.
Yeah.
What you got, Holmes?
Hey, guys, I'm the one that posted on your wall. Haha. Okay, so my question is it wrong to listen to secular music? Not like Not Christian music. That's the answer.
Okay.
I don't have to remain anonymous. I just thought this was the most efficient method of getting to you guys. My name is Anthony Berry, and I think you guys are awesome. Smiley
Thanks,
face.
Anthony. All right.
Anthony Berry, thank you very much. You said that you don't want to remain anonymous, so I'm going to say Anthony Berry as much as I can.
All right. Anthony Berry, here's the deal. Is it wrong to listen to secular music? You know what the funny thing is? We as Christians created that word secular music.
Yeah.
Did you know that? There originally, it was just all kind of general market.
Yep.
And we came up with this term secular music because, you know, we wanted to combat the evils that were the electric guitar.
You know, I've had a lot of conversations about this, and my best view of this is what a good buddy of mine, C.S. Lewis, said. And his response was that, in people talking about books,
right.
In his day and age, people were saying, well, secular books, and, you know,
You're
should we really read
Christian
secular books?
Time.
And he said, a book cannot be Christian, only the author of the book can be Christian.
Right.
Now, you can have Christian-themed books, you can have Christian-themed music or Christian-themed movies, but you cannot have Christian music. So the question is it wrong to listen to music that isn't produced by Christians? And I would say I don't believe that there is. I think there's a lot of great music out there, and I think that there's a lot of great music that has influenced Christians to do awesome things.
Right.
For instance, Away in a Manger, when that song was originally written, was put to the tune of a popular bar song.
Right.
And in that time, when that song came out and they started singing in the church, a lot of Christians were offended, and they said, hey, this song, this tune that you guys are singing is a bar song, and it's offensive, and you know, it's the world uses it to connotate evil. And the church leader's response was, hey, we're called to redeem the
right.
things that this world has given us. And that's my heart, is that we as Christians are called to redeem the time.
Right.
And part of redeeming the time is taking all the stuff that the devil wants to use for his purposes and using it for the church and using it for Christ. And that's one of the reasons we do Culture Shock
Absolutely.
On Static Radio. And, you know, even at Renovate, we every now and then, once a month, we spike in a secular song that we would call, oh my gosh, you're going to hell. We spike in a secular song that has Christian themes in it, and we redeem that song for the purposes of Jesus Christ.
Absolutely. We've gotten a couple emails recently about our Culture Shock segment. You know, we play a band called 3 Days Grace, who are not inherently Christians, but they have a song that we play as part of our Culture Shock, and it's called Never Too Late. And it's basically a song about it never being too never too late to turn away from the things that are destroying you and to turn to something redeeming. And the cool thing is we can not only say, you know what, this song is accurate, but guess what? There is someone you can turn to, and his name is Jesus Christ. I remember when we did Coldplay Fix You as a Culture Shock. We were talking about it on the morning show. We played the song. We got a phone call from a gentleman who had been struggling in his marriage, and things were rocky, weren't going so well. And this Coldplay song ministered to him so much so that he calls the morning show. We were able to pray with him right there on the morning show. And so, absolutely. Now, I will say this, as a music lover, there is stuff I don't listen to anymore.
Yeah.
A Perfect Circle and or Tool is two of the bands that I immediately think of. Is something that is just blatantly blasphemous. Something that just goes against everything awesome.
Yeah.
You know, I'm
now,
not a
I
fan
do,
of...
I do my morning sacrifices to Tool, though.
Stop. How can anyone take you seriously if you can't take this seriously?
No, it is a good point, though. You can't use it as a blanket statement. If you say, okay, sweet, I can listen to secular music. Let's go listen to Eminem and say the F word and slap women and stuff. Okay, that's not cool. There are certain music, although music can't be Christian music, there
right.
is certain music that can be anti-Christ.
Right.
And there's certain music that can be anti-things that we want in our lives. So there's definitely certain music that you want to stay away from. And I would say, too, a lot of times when someone first comes to Christ and they come to me and they say, hey, how can I best walk with the Lord? I sometimes reply to them that, you know, for a time, cut out secular music from your life. Cut out music that isn't praise music. It isn't worship music. And, you know, I think that if you spend a month listening to nothing but worship music, it's not going to hurt you. That's for sure.
Right.
But listening to secular music, is it going to send you to hell? No, it's not.
Right. There you go. All right. Anthony, thank you so much for the question. You're listening to Shock Therapy Live. I'm your host, Steve-O. With me, as always, Pastor Nate Heitzig. Answering your calls, your questions. Get them in now, facebook.com/mystaticradio. Or you can call us up, 505- 338-3700. Or facebook.com/mystaticradio. Melissa on Facebook says, hey, I love to listen to the station. I just wanted to say hi. You guys are awesome. Say hi back. I'm listening now. Hi, Melissa.
Thank you, Melissa,
for taking your Sunday evening out to listen to Shock Therapy Live. We got some good stuff tonight,
Melissa,
dude.
I want to know how you actually said that in your voice, because it's in all caps, at least the end part. So
she's yelling.
If you could call in and express in a vocal tone what that symbolizes, then I'll forever understand what that means when someone does all caps.
Okay, we got another odd question from Cindy, actually, on Facebook, who says, odd things, why do pizzas come in square boxes? The first one, I would say it's more practical than, say, a round box. Plus, you can only have to make one size of
square box. Yeah, how do you make a
box.
Round box?
I don't know. How would you even close the lid?
Oh,
I don't know. Bad times. Second question is, why do all woman issues start with, quote-unquote, men? Menopause, menstrual cycle. I have no idea, Cindy. I apologize for even reading that. That's why pre-reading is always brilliant.
You know, I bet men were the ones who put pizzas in square boxes, too.
Yeah.
I would pretty much guarantee it.
There it is. You're listening to
the show. I guarantee you.
The
woman took the box. She's like, oh, let's make it pretty. Let's put it in a round box. And then let's put a bow on it. And
the guy was
like,
practical.
Hey, I've got this cardboard that I was using for car grease. Let's just go ahead and put the pizza in that.
There you go. All right, 505-338-3700 if you'd like to get a question in, or facebook.com/mystaticradio. We got some email questions. We'll get to one in just a second, but I want to ask Sarah's question on Facebook. Sarah says, hey, can you guys cover – she has like five questions.
I know. I don't even know where to
go. Can we cover spiritual battles? We actually talked about spiritual warfare a couple weeks ago. So my suggestion, mystaticradio.com/shocktherapylive. We have every single episode for free. You can podcast it. You can download it. You can get it through iTunes. There's many different ways you can listen to that. So that's what I would say about spiritual battles. She wants to know if we should have friends who aren't Christians, and then how can we know what God's will is? Should we have friends who aren't Christians?
Yes.
Absolutely.
Yes, we should.
How else are they going to become Christians?
Exactly. You know, we're called to go into the world and make disciples of all men, and one of the best ways to do that is through friendships, relationships you have.
Absolutely.
I always tell people that you might have a sphere of influence around you that I would never have the opportunity to come into. There might be certain people that you can talk to and share the love of Christ to that wouldn't listen to me for a second because of who I am or because of my place in life. So you really want to use that sphere of influence to do the work of God. You know, Paul tells us that we're supposed to be in the world but not of the world. And this is really crucial. We're supposed to have Christian friends, and we're supposed to be influencing them, not vice versa.
Right.
If your non-Christian friends are starting to influence you and cause you to walk away from the Lord, then get rid of them.
Yeah.
Don't be friends with them. Don't hang out with them, because they're causing you to fall away from the world. But if you are strong in your walk with Christ, if you've been walking with him for some time and you're having an influence on them, then that's exactly what you're supposed to be doing.
Yeah.
A lot of times when someone first comes to the Lord, I'll tell them to get rid of their Christian friends, for their non-Christian friends, for a time, because it's so tempting to get back in their old lifestyle from just giving their heart to Christ.
Right.
But after being a Christian for a certain amount of time, if all you're doing is hanging out with other Christians and all you're doing is talking about theological intricacies and greatness, then you're kind of wasting your time and not doing what God's called you to do.
Right.
You're supposed to be talking to non-Christians.
We are called to engage the world. We need to engage our culture around us. Absolutely.
A buddy of mine, Sean McDowell, said it beautifully in a book. He was saying that he met with one guy who was a non-Christian, or who was a Christian, every single week to talk about theology. And every week they would sit in a coffee shop and talk about theology and talk about apologetics. And eventually they realized, we're spending so much time talking about apologetics and about how to reason with non-Christians, but we're not reasoning with non-Christians. We're
right.
talking about reasoning with non-Christians and how the best way to do that is, but we're not actually doing it.
Right.
And this is a problem in the church today, is that so many Christians spend so much time reading theology books, reading apologetics books, and saying, oh man, yeah, and you'll even hear them talk about, oh yeah, if you talk to an atheist, it's so easy to talk about talking to an atheist, because, you know, they say that all truth is relative, and if is that really true? And they'll use these little things, but they've never actually talked to an atheist before. They've never actually use that in a conversation with somebody who doesn't believe in Christ. They just talk to Christians about talking to atheists. So instead of doing that, use the knowledge that you have and use those resources to bring people to Christ.
Absolutely. You know what? I will, speaking on that, when I was first saved, I was in a bowling league with some good buddies of mine. I know. I was in a bowling. Here's why. I'll tell you, it's Shock Therapy Live. Let's be honest. It was Tuesday nights. It was $2 beer night. And so it was like, hey, $2 beer night. I'm in a bowling league with my friends. When I gave my heart to Jesus Christ, I knew I could no longer be in that bowling league.
So you went to the other bowling alley. That was $5 beer.
Honestly, I stayed away from bowling alleys for a good while because I was in a bowling league and we'd rock it on Tuesday nights and it was like $2 beer night. Yeah, all right. Karaoke, beer, and bowling and friends. And I had to walk away from that whole thing. There are some things you should definitely, is this going to glorify God? Is this? No. However, yes, it's okay to have friends who are not Christian.
And this is something we've hit on before, is that there are certain sins that are lifestyle sins. And the only way to get rid of those lifestyle sins is to take a 180-degree turn.
Right.
And guess what? When you're coming from a lifestyle of sin and you give your heart to Christ, you need to do a 180-degree turn, at least for a time. You need to get rid of those friends. You need to get rid of those people so that you can best focus on your walk with Christ. And that's very important to do in our walk with the Lord.
All right. There you go. 505-338-3700 if you'd like to get a question in. Hello, you're on Shock Therapy Live.
Hey, what's going on, guys? This is Brian from Grant. What's up?
Hey,
Brian,
man,
what's up, compadre?
Hey, I originally called because my wife, Melissa, is actually the one that commented that you mentioned the comment.
Yes.
And she was so excited, and she wanted me to call you guys, and thank you for that.
Sweet. So, you're welcome.
And she says hi again, by the way.
Hi, Melissa.
I just had some thoughts on what you guys were talking about. It's really different listening on the phone as you guys are talking to.
This is true. It actually works best to turn your radio down. If you turn your radio down, otherwise you're going to hear two different things. It's going to be very confusing.
Yeah, you're going to be terrified.
I keep trying to turn it down, and Melissa keeps trying to turn it back up.
So what's your question there?
Well, actually, I just had some comments about what you guys were talking about.
Okay.
I find myself, in a joyful spot when I hang out with, not specifically friends, but people I know that are not Christians.
Mm-hmm.
It brings me a joy to know that I'm being a light for Christ in their lives, and if I hang around them long enough, I see it back.
Right.
I can tell that they're definitely pulling a Christian lifestyle out of hanging around with me.
Amen. It's a really valid point that you talked about. I always say we can either be a thermometer or a thermostat.
Yeah.
A thermometer comes into a room and just reflects what the temperature of that room is. A thermostat comes into a room and changes the temperature of the room.
Right.
And that's what we can do with our non-Christian friends. Either we can hang around them and just be what they are and tell them what they are and reflect what they are, or we can be a thermostat, come into their presence and change the way that they're living and change the spiritual climate of their lives. And it does bring satisfaction, just like you're saying, man. If you hang out with non-Christians and you're being a light and you're seeing them change, that brings satisfaction because that's what we're supposed to do.
Right. I'll tell you what, dude, one of my dearest, dearest friends, his name is Jason, and when we started hanging out, he was Zen Buddhist funky whatever. Like, he was just, yeah, man, just free spirit, kind of crazy cool whatever guy, and I wasn't like, oh, okay, I can't hang out with you. You're a Buddhist, dude. We rocked snowboarding trips together. We hung out regularly. And you know what I did? I did what John 13:34-35 says, to love one another. I loved that dude. I hung out with him. I spent a lot of great time. And now I can say he is one of my strongest brothers in Christ. He is involved
Praise
in the
Lord.
Church. And he's just got this amazing heart for Jesus now. And he attributes it to our relationship, our friendship. But I obviously absolutely attribute it to the
Hey,
Holy Spirit
everybody
just
listening,
working in him.
Everyone
life.
Listening on the radio right now, just clap for Steve-O.
Stop it right now. You know what? I don't even like talking to you anymore. We're going to take a break.
Hey,
we're actually 4 minutes over.
Brian, thanks
take
so much
break.
For calling, man.
Yes, man. Thank you so much for the phone call, Brian and Grant. All right, we're going to take a quick break, and we're going to come back with more of Nate's smart aleck comments.
Dude, I'm feeling
answers.
Gangsta tonight. I don't know what's going to happen. I might slap a fool. I might pull up my gat and just start firing rounds up in the air. I don't know what's going to happen.
505-338-3700, or you can also get your questions in at facebook.com/mystaticradio.
Shock Therapy Live. Maybe this time the treatment will take. Follow tonight's topic at facebook.com/mystaticradio or at 505-338-3700. If you think you can handle the spewing of hard truth, time to treat more of your disorders with Steve-O and Nate. This is Shock Therapy Live.
Boom!
Yeah, girl!
Yeah!
What?
Dude, I hit the boom perfectly
you
that time.
Did.
It was on cue.
Way to go.
Oh, I feel like John Foreman.
You look like John Foreman. Man. You need a haircut, bro.
Goodness. I'm going to be in San Diego next week. Maybe John Foreman will come hang out with me.
Facebook.com/MyStaticRadio. Get your questions in. You're listening to Shock Therapy Live. It is your one-hour call-in show centered around your questions. Facebook.com/MyStaticRadio.
Pick up your phone and call us.
That's right.
Ask
505.
Us a question. Guess what? It is 7:30. That means you have nighttime minutes, guys.
That's right. That's right.
That means it's a free phone call to get your questions answered to have the Lord speak into your lives.
505.
No excuses.
3700. Did you forget to, like, take your medication tonight? What is wrong with you?
Oh, man.
In
I
studio,
knew I was forgetting something.
And dear friend to my right, Pastor Nate Heitzig, I am Steve-O, and we are taking your calls and your questions. Now, we were talking about listening to quote-unquote secular music,
yeah.
Talking about you know, certain bands, whatever. Laura on Facebook says, awesome answer about the secular music, but what if the artist started out non-secular? A good example, Marilyn Manson, grew up in a Catholic school. I know he's no longer Catholic. How do you explain it to a child who doesn't understand? I would say in the specific case of Marilyn Manson, he never started out his music as a Christian artist. He was blatantly out of the gate, very much so creepy and weird and wearing lipstick. But that was just one example. If you want to talk about somebody like Chevelle, who started in the Christian market.
Yeah.
Switchfoot started in the Christian market.
Yeah.
Those guys still absolutely love Jesus. So just because they've gone quote-unquote mainstream doesn't always necessarily mean, you know, they don't
still love
Jesus.
I would say as far as Marilyn Manson goes, he falls under the freak clause. He doesn't count. If you're a freak, you don't get to use those things in an argument.
If you're a dude who dresses like a chick, don't listen to
when
their
music.
When
you wear female bodysuits, you discredit yourself for the rest of your life. Not just from Christian music, but from music in general. People just look at you, hey, you're a freak. We don't really want to talk about you. So he falls under the freak clause, so he's not allowed to be used anymore.
Oh, there you go,
just
dude.
Just made that rule. Now. Bam!
Stop making up rules. You know, Janae on Facebook just said, Nate.
Janae, is that my wife?
You're crazy. Steve-O, you're supposed to be the crazy one. Tame the man-child next to you. I don't know how, Janae. If you can't tame this dude at home, I don't know how I'm supposed to. So.
And Chrissy Jeter, your wife, said, got my mind on my money
and
my
money
on
my
mind.
What? Yeah, get your questions in right now, facebook.com/mystaticradio. Or call us up. You know what? Call us up, because right now we're both a little sidetracked. 505-338-3700. We got some cool comments or questions. Check this out. Kayla's got a question for us. She's listening while doing chemistry homework, and she says, do y'all happen to know what the approximate mass of a carbon atom in atomic mass units is?
Stupid.
Thanks,
that's what
guys.
It is. Stupid. It's dumb, and you'll never need to know that for life.
It is a massive headache is what it is. I'm sorry. I don't do chemistry at all. But thanks for the question. Great question.
Hey, we do have a follow-up question from the other one that we had. We didn't answer the full thing. So Sarah had asked,
what is the will of God?
Yeah, what is the will of
God? How can we know what God's will is?
Yeah. Hey, Sarah, great question. I want to hit it really quick. Number one, we do know what God's will is specifically in some areas of our lives.
Yeah.
We're told in the Bible a few things specifically what God's will is for us. Number one, God's will is that we're a believer.
Right.
We're told in 2 Peter 3:9, God is not willing that any would perish, but that all should come to repentance. And also we're told God wants everyone to be saved and understand the truth. So number one, we're supposed to be a believer. Number two, you need to be filled with the Holy Spirit. It says, understand what the Lord's will is. Do not be drunk with wine, but be filled with the Holy Spirit. Speak to one another with psalms, so on and so forth. So number one, we're supposed to be a believer. Number two,
speak
God's
to each other
will
in poetry.
Is that we are Brian Nixon. Number three, God's will is that we live a pure life. 1 Thessalonians 4:3 says, for this is the will of God, even your sanctification. That is that you abstain from sexual immorality. Number four, God wants us to have an attitude of gratitude. 1 Thessalonians 5:18 says, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God. So there's a few things really quickly that are the will of God specifically for our lives. But I want you to note the order.
Right.
That we're told that first and foremost, it's a living sacrifice. We're supposed to give ourselves to God. And this is my policy for knowing the will of God. If you are fully 100% committed to God, if you are completely given over to Him in every area of your life, and you love Him with your heart, soul, and mind, then whatever the heck you want to do is the will of God. Because we're told in the Psalms that God will give you the desires of your heart. And what that means is that God isn't going to give you a Ferrari or a Porsche or a smoking hot California dime, but that God is going to implant within your life the things that He wants you to desire if you're fully committed to Him. If you're 100% committed to God, then the things that God will naturally put on your heart will be the things that God wants for your life. When I graduated, Pastor John Corson came to me and he said, Nate, do you want to know the will of God for your life? And I said, yes, thinking he was going to say, go to UCLA.
Right.
or that he was going to tell me something really strange. But he didn't. This is what he said. He said, love God with all your heart, soul, and mind, and then do whatever you want to do.
Yeah.
And it was something along the lines, St. Augustine said something very similar to that. And that's the truth. If you want to know God's will, be fully committed to Him. Give your entire life to Him, and then do what you want to do, because that's going to be God's will for your life. You don't need to pray every time you go to Taco Cabana for what you're going to eat that night. Does God want me to have the fajita salad?
I don't know, dude.
Does He want me to have the barbacoa?
I'll have
the runs for 2 hours or 4 hours.
That's it, dude. Yeah. If you go to Taco Cabana, you best be praying, because one time I accidentally ordered the Eggs Mexicana, and had I prayed beforehand, God probably wouldn't have told me to have that, because dude got stomach flu.
Steve-o, rule number two. Marilyn Manson is a freak. Rule number two, don't order things with Mexicana in the title.
All right. We got two man rules tonight, apparently.
Bam!
All right. There you go. And also, I'd like to say, Sarah, what is the will of God? How can we know God's will? I think a lot of times people confuse God's will for destiny. It's like, we want to know what our destiny is. Where am I supposed to, as if there's this magical one solid line, okay, I'm going to go to UCLA for 4 years, and then when I graduate, I'm going to be here, and I'm going to do this, and you have this whole mapped out. That's your quote-unquote destiny that's kind of cheesy and worldly and not even really accurate.
God is not Obi-Wan Kenobi. God does not, like, speak from some area to Luke Skywalker when he's trying to find his destiny.
Go to
Dagobah.
Well, I mean, it does kind of sometimes. He does tell us to go places, but, you know.
Yeah, but not that often.
Not necessarily.
Not in such a crazy lightsabery kind of way.
Right. Thank you, Sarah, for your questions. If you'd like to get a question in, 505-338-3700. Or you can Facebook us. Dude, we have a lot of questions. Speaking on God's will, Michelle asks, how do you actively do God's will? I'm a person that needs specific instructions, so I'm confused.
You need specific instructions.
I think you just gave them, but...
Yeah, okay, so if I were to tell you to go to Smith's and buy a gallon of milk... Do I need to tell you to take a left at this street, take a right at that street? When you go inside, don't take your shirt off and start screaming, because people are going to think you're weird. When you go get the milk, don't throw it on the ground and start cursing, because that's just awkward. Make sure to pay for the milk, because you have to pay for it. You can't just walk out and steal it. You know, if I tell you to do something, I don't need to give you specific instructions on how to do it. And once again, I said God has given us His specific will for our lives, that we are believers, that we're saved, that we're controlled by the Holy Spirit, that we live a pure life, and all these different things. And when God tells you to do that, you take what God's given you and then play the rest by ear. So you say, all right, Lord, what you've told me to do, I'm going to follow your will. I'm going to give myself completely to you. I'm going to be completely controlled by you. And then you're going to find God will begin to give you His specific will. Sometimes God's just waiting us to act on what He's already said. You know, I hear people come to me and they say, hey, Nate, will you pray for me of whether or not it's okay for me to live with my girlfriend? I'm really just wondering if I should move in with my girlfriend, and I just want to know what I should be doing. And my answer is, God's already spoken on that.
Right.
He's not going to tell you something else. He's already given you His will. You just haven't observed it. You haven't listened to it.
Right.
So we have to keep in mind that sometimes God's already given us His will, and He's just waiting for you to act on what He's already given you before He gives you something else.
So do
what God's already told you to do, and then ask the Lord for the rest.
There you go. All right. Dude, thanks to everybody who's commenting in tonight with their questions. We got a ton on Facebook. We're going to keep going right now. Abel, we kind of talked about this, just posted a question. He says he's the opposite as far as, you know, hanging out with non-Christian friends. He says he comes from a private school and a church where everyone is a Christian. So now that he's in college, his question is, how do I be a light in this dark world.
Where's the question? I can't find it.
I got a whole list. Blam! Oh, look at this. You gotta hit refresh more often than that, my friend.
Okay.
Yeah. How to be a light in a dark world. You know, we touched on that a little bit. John 13:34-35, talking about loving one another so as I have loved you. By your love, all men will know you are my disciples by your love for one another. So I would say, as you just eloquently put, love God with your heart, mind, soul, strength, and love your neighbor as yourself.
Yeah, so the question is how to be a light to them. You know, I would say one thing is when they ask you to go get drunk and party with them, say no. And then when they say, why not? Say, because I have a relationship with Jesus Christ. And it's not judging them, but it's showing them that your relationship with God is something different than what the world has to offer.
Absolutely. Well, it's like we talked about tonight, Daniel chapter 1. Go back and reread Daniel chapter 1. When Daniel was confronted with drinking the king's wine and eating the king's food, he humbly goes to the dude in charge and says, hey, man, I can't do this because this goes, so I'm humbly requesting not to have to do this, you know? And he puts it that way. It's not like, you're an idiot and a sinner. I'm not going to drink your stupid wine. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And so, yeah, I think a lot of times people, it's almost like we have this sense of entitlement, like, oh, dude, you drink? Stupid. I would never do anything like that because I am so great. Guess what? There is nothing great about you apart from Jesus Christ. Period.
Yeah.
And so don't put yourself up on this pedestal. You're still an idiot.
You know, and the best way to be a light is to do it in deed and truth. We're told to live in deed and truth. So it's not enough just to not do it, but you do also need to tell them, hey, I'm not doing it because I have a relationship with God. Because otherwise you're just going to think, okay, maybe that guy's allergic to alcohol, or maybe that guy, you know, gets hives when he smokes pot. You know, but if you tell them why you're not doing that, then you're showing them that your relationship with Christ is real and that it means something.
Absolutely.
Now you can do that without judging, though. Speak the truth in love.
Definitely. If you, dude, seriously, if you were an Asian guy right now, your name would be Definitely. Seriously. 505-338-3700. He just hung up. He was like, wow.
He's like, I love Jackie Chan.
505-338-3700. If you'd like to get a phone call in, you can also Facebook us, facebook.com/mystaticradio. We've got a couple emails, actually, at studio@mystaticradio.com. And
we're getting so many questions.
I know.
I'm overwhelmed.
It's been a monster. Yeah.
Call in.
Dalton says, thanks for answering my question. I appreciate it. It totally helped. Thank you. You guys rock my face. Thanks for all you do and letting God use you.
Happy to rock your face, compadre.
Yeah, man. So there it is. All right. Right here. Shock Therapy Live, you're on the air.
Hey.
Hi.
Christian, I am 28.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
I'm just kidding.
Congratulations, you're older.
I am older, actually, but that's cool.
I have a 16-year-old sister who is obviously going through normal teenage stuff, and I know being, quote-unquote, attacked with hormones.
Right.
How do I speak to her about sex? Obviously, because it's our day and age, she knows about it.
I was going to say, at 16 years old, chances are you missed your window like by 10 years, seriously, in this day and age.
No. But I mean about how God honors purity. And
because
she's a pretty new believer.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And there's all kinds of bad statistics. But I'm like, well, what about, I was just wondering if you had any ideas on how to get through to a 16-year-old.
Yeah, right. You know, this is what you want to make her aware, that God created sex, and it's a good thing. It's not a bad thing in the confines of marriage. God created it for a man and a woman to be married and in the sanctity of a marriage bed. And you have to understand that when you give yourself to somebody sexually, those are memories that will never leave you.
Right.
I've spoken to people before that were sexually active with other people before they were married, and they said that being married to my husband or being married to my wife, I would sleep with my husband or wife and then that night dream of sleeping with someone that I slept with 15 years before. That is not something that it's just there in that time, in that moment, but it carries on with you for the rest of your life because you're giving something over that's not just purely physical and pleasure-wise physical, but something that's emotional. And there's an emotional tie to that. And that tie is something that carries on for a long period of time. And
Absolutely.
It's important to let your sister know that God has already picked and foreordained a husband for her who's going to love her, who's going to cherish her, who's going to treat her right. And they're going to have the best marriage sex ever. in marriage.
Right.
And it has to be confined to that marriage place. You know, God already knows the name of her children someday. And all these different things that God has a plan for our lives. And if we're faithful to that plan, then the blessings are going to be tremendous.
Right.
But the second we step outside of that plan that God has for our lives, we bring ourselves into dangers. Not just AIDS, not just pregnancy, because I know that's what people think about, that's what people talk about. But really, it's the emotional attachment and the fact that you're giving a part of yourself away to somebody that you can never get back. You know, God will obviously view you as pure and white before his eyes when you repent of those sins, but it's still something, no matter how much God forgives you, it's something that is never going to leave you emotionally or physically.
Right. Absolutely. I second that 100%. You know, I heard it said by Mark Driscoll when he went through the Peasant Princess a series. You know, yeah, I know. And he was talking about it's one of three G's. It's either God in this culture right now. Sex is God for a lot of people. Or in the church's eyes, it's gross. It's terrible. It's horrible. You can't do it. So save it for the one you really love, you know, type thing. Or it's a gift. And that is, you've absolutely nailed it. It is this gift in the sanctity of marriage, because, man, speaking from experience, as someone who did not wait till I was married, regret it every single day, because I now have this absolutely phenomenal wife, and it still hurts a little. And yes, I know that there is no condemnation for those in Christ. I know that I'm redeemed. I know that I'm forgiven, but there is still this emotional scar of knowing that something I did so long ago in high school, because I was young and stupid and thought this was the thing to do, is going to be carried. I'm going to carry it with me for the rest of my life. And it's a regret I have. And it's something that I will definitely share with my sons, you know, as they get older.
You know, and as you say, it's a gift. And think of it this way. On Christmas, you have gifts that are under the tree. And those gifts are reserved for Christmas Day. And if you go 2 days before and open those gifts, you ruin those gifts for Christmas Day. Those were meant for Christmas Day. And they're no longer a surprise. They're no longer fun.
Right.
You don't really care about them because you opened them before Christmas. And it's the same with sex. It's a gift that God has given for the marriage confines. And if you open that gift before you're married, then you're ruining the gift, not just for you, but for your spouse.
Absolutely. Does that help?
Oh, totally. Thank you so much.
Right on.
You're welcome.
Thank you for calling in. All right. We got to take one more quick break. 505-338-3700, the phone number. Get your questions in. You can also email us, studio@mystaticradio.com, or Facebook us, facebook.com/mystaticradio.
Shock Therapy Live. A little heated by tonight's topic? Yes? Build a bridge and get over it. Or better yet, chime in now on facebook.com/mystaticradio. Or call 505-338-3700. We find it best to get it off your chest. Now, more Shock Therapy Live.
Yes, dude. Welcome back. We got about 13 minutes of show left. So
hey, I did the boom again, but you didn't have my mic on.
I'm sorry. I knew the
jerk.
Voice guy was going to...
Gosh, just because you think you have tattoos, you're cooler than everybody?
Hey, you know what, Tattoo Man? You have one on your back that you're getting worked on right now.
I know,
so stop talking to me. Yeah, 505-338-3700, the phone number. Welcome to Shock Therapy Live. I'm your host, Steve-O. With me, my partner in crime right over here, Pastor Nate Heitzig.
Yeah.
We are here answering your questions.
Dude, that new pentagram tattoo you have is awesome, man.
I'm going to smack you. What is wrong with you tonight? If you'd like to call in and ask a question, or if you'd like to make a comment about the craziness that is my co-host, feel free to do so. You're going to read that one from Michelle? We got a question on Facebook from Michelle.
Yeah. Michelle Felton. This is a bit off topic, but my best friend is really into secular fiction. She is a writer and a reader, but she reads about mythology and such. It makes me a bit uncomfortable. Is it bad to read about stuff with other gods? She says it's just fiction and she's Christian, but I don't see her really giving her life to Christ. So could it be a poison in her life? How do I tell her? Good question. First of all, I'm going to hit on something you can't know. You said, could it be a poison in her life? Is that what keeping her from God? I don't know, and neither do you, and there's really no way to tell unless she starts wearing, like, wizard robes.
And praying
and,
to
like,
Zeus.
Yeah, then you can tell that's a poison in her life. But if she's just not giving herself fully to God and she's reading secular fiction, then it's impossible to tell if that's really the poison within her life. Now, on the topic of reading secular fiction, you know, we talked about secular music, let's talk about secular fiction. On the topic of reading secular fiction, is it wrong inherently? No. Can it be wrong in certain people's life? Yes. This is something where I really like to go on the topic of Spider-Man. If I were to watch Spider-Man and after watching Spider-Man say, hey, you know, I really think that I can shoot web out of my hands, and I think that I should probably try to climb walls and jump off big roofs in New York City and fight crime. That would be a mistake.
Yeah.
Because it's a fictional comic book, it's a fictional movie, and trying to take it as anything else besides that is retarded. and it's the same way to think about mythology and to think about these other things, is that it's fiction. And if we read fiction and we decide, hey, I think I want to have Zeus, or I want to be Hercules, or I want to do these crazy things. Well, then there's a problem, because you're taking fiction and trying to relate it into real life. So you got to be really careful with that.
Yeah. There you go.
Do you want to say something else about that, Harry Potter fan?
whatever, Harry Potter fan. Don't give me that. How many times have you read the books?
Once.
You know, I really, honestly, I think of Till We Have Faces, which is a book written by C.S. Lewis that actually is from the standpoint of, I believe, Greek mythology. I wish I could say I've read the entire thing. But yeah, it does talk about the little gods, you know what I mean, with Zeus and all these, because it's this Greek culture, but it's from that perspective. So, yeah, you know, I agree with you 100%. It depends on if she's reading Lord of the Rings and she starts wearing Gandalf clothing and
strange
and just yeah.
Yeah, and that was written by a Christian guy.
But other than that, as C.S. Lewis said himself, there are no Christian books, only Christian authors, therefore no secular books, only, you know.
So what you're saying is I should get my lightning tattoo on my forehead taken off.
You know what? You can do whatever you want, Nate, all right? We got a question on Facebook from my wife, actually. She says, I have a question. If Mike Loxley gets chopped in an empty forest, does he make a noise?
I don't know who Mike Loxley is.
Yeah, that's the head coach of the UNM Lobos, or at least was until today. He was fired.
The only person that I know with the last name Loxley is Robin of Loxley.
Wow. Can we get to that really awesome email question you have that's going to be pretty crazy?
Yeah. Hey, first of all, I want to say I love the show.
Yeah.
But anyways, I was listening about why we should have atheist friends and how do we save them to Christ without freaking them out. Good question.
Very good. Wait, he said what?
He says,
why
anyways,
we should have
I was listening about
friends?
Why we should have atheist friends.
Okay. So he wasn't saying we should go get some, because we weren't really saying, like, that you should go get some. Hey, excuse me, sir. Do you hate God? Yes? Okay, sweet. Will you be my friend? I want to tell you about Jesus.
That's how I start all my conversations.
Okay, yeah. I don't necessarily do that.
No, hey, I want to point out, though, we didn't say you should have atheist friends, although it's not bad to have atheist friends.
Right.
But that it's good to have non-Christian friends. But how do you win them to Christ without freaking them out? Well, I think basically what Steve-O said is he had a buddy who was all into Buddhism and all into a bunch of other crazy stuff, and he started out by just letting the love of Christ shine through him. Right. And then over time, that love broke down barriers, and then he was able to share Christ specifically about what Jesus has done.
Absolutely.
So, you know, you don't want to just right away go into it and say, hey, did you know Jesus Christ is the only way to heaven? You're going to accept him, you're going to go to hell, and you're going to burn. It's really, really painful, and Satan wants to poke you with a pitchfork and really sucks. If you do that, you're probably not going to win them to Christ. But if you show love to them and then over time share with them the truth of the gospel, by the way, Satan doesn't have a pitchfork and he doesn't poke you. But if you share the truth of Christ with them after you've loved them with your life, that's the way to win them to Christ.
Yeah, and I will say this. Everyone has a story. If you are in a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, he has obviously touched you personally. Therefore, you have a story. Tell your story, man. Love on them and tell your story. You don't have to. I know a lot of times people have to jump on a soapbox and say, repent or you're going to hell because the Bible says this or the Bible does that. The Bible, blah, 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 blah. Hell, blah. Dude, tell your story. Love on them, be a friend, and that's literally what it took for me. John 13:34-35, just by our love, all men will know you're a disciple of Jesus Christ, by your love for one another, and you just tell your story of how God is absolutely rocking your world and doing amazing things in your life, and people will see those fruits in your life, and that's how you don't have to beat them over the head and say, repent or die, you know?
Exactly. And I want to point out, this is the model of Jesus. Jesus was really, and some people say, well, Jesus was rash with people, and he was, you know, stern with people. Yeah, the religious people that were blasphemous. blaspheming his name and blaspheming what God the Father had sought to do through prophecy and through the revelation of his son. Yeah, he was, you know, getting hard on those guys, but the non-believing atheists, the sinners, the scumbags of the world, he showed love, and he showed an unbiased love through his life, and that's how they responded. You know, I think of the prostitute who was thrown on the street and about to get stoned, and before Jesus said, hey, you know, they are right, you did sin, and you really do need to repent of that sin, first he showed her love, and he saved her from the judgment of those around her, and then he shared with her the truth. He didn't say, well, you know, they do have a valid point. If you really are a prostitute, and you really are sleeping with guys, like, every night and skronking like a beaver, well, if that's the case, well, then there is some sin in your life that you need to repent of, and if you repent of that sin first, well, then we can talk. No, he showed love first, and then he called for repentance. We're having fun tonight, aren't we, Steve-O?
Yes, we are. You are cracking me up tonight. You know, I think of the time where the Pharisees were trying to trap him, and he says, you know what? The well have no need of a hospital, but only the sick. Just like I have not come to call the righteous, but sinners. You know what I mean? And so, yeah, Jesus was, he was an awesome dude who was hanging out with the crazy sinners of the world. And the cool thing was, he met their physical need first, and then he just spoke into their lives.
Hey, I'm about to Jesus juke you. He wasn't just an awesome dude. He was God.
Okay.
Get it right.
Okay, well, there you go. Thank you for that Jesus juke.
Gosh.
505-338-3700. If you'd like to get a call on, we've got about 4 minutes left to show. Hello, you're on the air. Hello.
Hello, can you hear me?
Absolutely.
Oh, I just want to say thank you. I know you guys only have a couple minutes, and I'm kind of changing the subject of the secular realm of things. I actually have been saved for several years now, and I have two children. I have a 12-year-old and a 9-year-old. And my question is, we have shared custody. Me and their father did not get along for several years now, and it's very hard to let them go back to their father's house. And I just wanted to know if biblically is this, I know that it talks about marriage and how marriage is sacred. My question is, it's so hard for me to let them go to a non-secular home because he is married and he does have his own children of his own, but maybe just encouragement or where in the Bible it says specifically, just to give me more encouragement, I guess I'm trying to say, to let them go and be with their father in a non-secular household.
In a secular household, you mean?
Right, what? Non-Christian?
Non-Christian.
Okay.
Well, unfortunately, there's nowhere in the Bible that talks about that, because in biblical times, if you were to get a divorce, you'd get stoned. So unfortunately, we don't have any reference to that as far as what the Bible says. The only thing that I would be able to tell you is that the Bible says to train up a child in the way that they should go.
Right.
So I would say that every time your kids come back from spending time with their father, to talk to them, say, hey, what did you guys do? What did you guys talk about? And find out what they're being told. And if anything is counteractive to what you're teaching them about what the Bible says, to make sure to correct those areas and make sure that you are training them up in the way that they should go. And then I would also say to talk to their father and even just very simply say, hey, I want to let you know that I'm training them up and I'm causing them to believe in Jesus Christ. And if you could respect that as the mother and as the one who is with them the majority of their time, if you could respect that and not say anything to counteract that. You don't have to believe it. You don't have to accept it. You don't have to preach it to them. But if you could respect the fact that I'm training them up to believe in Jesus Christ and not say anything to bash that, that would be helpful to me as a mom raising our children. And it's very possible to do something like that. But you know, as much as is dependent on you, train them up in the way that they're to go.
That's right.
Okay.
Does that help?
Okay, it does. They do go back, and there's really very minimal communication, and it's very hard. But
right.
It seems like I always fall, and I falter in the sense of not knowing what to do, and I've known the word, I read the word, and I'm strong in the word, and I do teach them, and I tell them as much as they can, but then things happen over there, and it always throws me for a loop, and I know that sometimes the enemy will use that against us.
Well, what do you mean by things happen over there? Because if there are, like, harmful situations, then absolutely do not have them over there. You know, if you're sending them over to your husband's house, and your husband's, like, smoking weed or doing crazy things, then, you know, there's a difference.
They're just non-Christian. So
okay.
They drink. They have parties with them there. Not that they're being abused or that some bad things are happening. It just seems that I don't particularly like and like them to be around, but I have no control because it is their household. And it's certain things like that where I teach them and say, you know, it's not bad, but it's not good. And I don't want them to be looking at them as role models, thinking that when they're 15, 16 year old, they can pick up a beer. My dad does it, or I can drink and it is okay.
Right.
You know, and that's where it falls on you when your kids get back to, once again, I said, talk to them about what happened, you know, and say, hey, what happened? You know, what did you guys do? And when you hear about those parties, you can have a conversation with them and say, hey, I want you to know that it's okay to love your dad, but the decisions that he's making aren't right. Right. And that's
right.
Okay. It's okay to do that. And it's important to do that. And make your kids aware of that, that, hey, you can love your dad because God's called you to love him, but he's not making the right decisions, and I don't want you guys to do that either, and that's not okay, and that's bad. And you know, run through with them the biblical principles and the biblical concepts of that, and make them aware of that.
Okay. Thank you so much, guys.
You're
yeah,
very welcome.
You.
All right, you guys have a good night.
You too.
Right, you too.
All right, bye-bye.
Look at that. Pretty much perfect timing right there. That looks like the end of our show. I can hear Switchfoot in the background, which
Dude,
means our time is up.
I'm sad.
If you missed a portion of the show, you can check out mystaticradio.com/shocktherapylive.
Oh, hey, quick question. Robin Lee, totally off topic, but Nate, when is Robbie C Band going to be at Renovate? They're going to be at Renovate October 6th. That's a Thursday night at 7:30. It's going to be freaking awesome. Invite all your friends. Robbie C Band, Steve-O's going to be there. We're going to have a Static Live remote there. It's going to be freaking epic. If you miss it, you're going to cry yourself to sleep in the fetal position.
Wow.
And nobody likes to see that.
There
so
you go.
Save yourself some pride and come to Robbie C Band.
For Pastor Nate Heitzig, I am Steve-O. mystaticradio.com/shocktherapylive. If you missed a portion of the show, you can podcast it, download it there. We'll see you guys next week.
We love you.
Boom. Comments made do not necessarily reflect the opinions of Real Doctors, Moms, Calvary of Albuquerque, any political party, Puppies, Static Radio, or, well, just about anybody else except for the moron who made us use the delay.